Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light, the National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our dramatic program today, the 10th in a series entitled Pages from the Living Book, was written by Harriet Kopp. Abigail.
And there was a man in Maon, whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal.
That's a fine-looking flock thou hast there.
Aye, they're mine, 3,000 of them. And I warrant their wool will loom the whitest cloth from our own to the Dead Sea. A man can be proud when he looks upon such riches.
Perhaps grateful, too, to his god, the Nabal.
Aye. And who art thou who calls me by my name?
I am a stranger to thee. My name is Abner.
We do not look kindly upon strangers, Maon. I am the wealthiest man in this valley. And I, for one, have no intention of sharing the fruits of my labor, my flocks and my vineyards, with the strangers of wandering tribes.
Ah, but I am not from a wandering tribe, Nabal. I am one of thy kind, one of David's men. We are 600 who have followed David into hiding from the anger of Saul, living in the caves of the desert, shielding him from King Saul's jealous madness.
Thou makest thyself less and less pleasing to me. David, hiding... The great David, killer of Goliath and hero of all Israel, skulking in a cave like a mole burrowing in his hole, cloaking his movements with the darkness of night, using his famed slingshot to kill a pigeon. Or I'll be bound a sheep or goat from my herd. What has happened to the great warrior of Israel?
Good day, my lord. And thou too, Abner. This is a good day, for I see you have finally met each other, and it is indeed time, Nabal, that thou hast met with the captain of David's men face to face.
And because... upon you both, I now turn my back.
What has come over him, Nabal, my lord? Never have I seen him so surly.
What matter? More important... How goes the shearing and the weighing in of the sheep's wool?
The best ever. Here, look at this. Feel it. The weight of this wool will bring many shekels of silver in the scales tomorrow.
Now that is good news, Joachim. Call our workers together. I shall share the good tidings with them just as I will share the earnings. There will be greater feasting than ever before for my household and all the hirelings too.
Hear it! Hear it! Tell the workers, the men and women, too, to gather quickly. Nabal awaits them. Hurry, lad.
Right away.
Joachim, how dost thou account for the richness of the wool this year, eh?
Oh, 'tis the hand of the Lord.
Oh, no, that is the kind of milksop answer I expect from Abigail, my wife, not from my foreman.
Oh, I was not yet finished, Nabal. Hear me out. The hand of the Lord and the hand of David.
Oh, that wretched name again, David. It haunts me like black magic.
It is not black magic, but the truth. For it was David's strong arm that kept the sheep safe from marauding tribes in the pasture lands, where they grew fat and their fleece heavy. His men have been as a wall, protecting...
Enough, enough. I ask for no protection from him or from his men. I owe him nothing. Remember that, Joachim. Ah, it is Jared. Where are my workers, boy?
They are coming, master. They lingered for but a moment to hear a song from David, who has just come into the marketplace.
Oh, they did, eh? Well, Joachim, since my words seem to be of less importance than the words of David... Tell my workers that as I waited, my impatience mounted and my pleasure waned. And as my pleasure lessened, so did their share of the profits.
And the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. And the woman was of good understanding and of a beautiful form, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings.
Is it thou, my lord Nabal?
It is.
Oh, return so soon from Carmel and the shearing. I have been out in the vineyards with my maidens, not expecting thee before darkness.
Oh, enough chatter. Fetch me a vessel of wine here in the cool of the shade and see that I'm not disturbed till I call for more.
See, a table has already been laid for thee. Wine and bread, too, for thy hunger. All that needs doing is to fill the goblet.
No. Fill the goblet to the very top, woman. Nabal can afford to have his cup spill over.
Oh, Nabal, my lord, do not drown thy blessings in wine. Has it been such a disappointing day at the marketplace?
Buzz. Stop buzzing, my queen bee, for there is much work to be done for the shearing party on the morrow. Aye, no king's festive boards must equal Nabal's. We shall see which holds more power over my men, David's words or Nabal's wines. Eh, Abigail?
Did thou see David then at the marketplace, Nabal? Oh, tell me, what is the great David like?
Knock, David! David! You two know better than a common woman of the marketplace, a camp follower. Be gone and stay out of my sight, lest my anger...
I go. Though I know not what I have done to anger thee, but whatever it is, I am truly sorry, Nabal. Sarah, four baskets of figs. Well, thou hast done well. Here, let me help these. Please, pick over the figs. For only the most succulent ones go into the cakes tomorrow.
Is the shearing party to be held, then? We thought there would be none. We heard rumor among the men that my lord, Nabal, had left the marketplace in one of his terrible fits of temper.
He was wearied from the heat and noise. Oh, no, Sarah. That fig is too dry.
Oh.
Being unwell in body made Nabal appear unwell in spirit. He's resting now. And I am certain we'll be refreshed when he awakens.
There, we are finished. Two baskets filled with the juiciest figs of the morning's picking.
But still not enough, Sarah. Fetch another basket while I continue picking.
I shall bring it right away, my lady.
Oh, there is a beauty. Oh, but I can't quite...
That one is out of reach. May I help you by holding the branch down?
Sir, I thank thee. Oh, that was truly a help.
Hast thou ever wondered why the choicest and most desired things are always outside of reach? The high mountain peaks, the soft clouds, even the plumpest figs.
Well, perhaps the Lord did it so as to teach us to lift up our heads and keep them up so that we may better see his wonders.
But I behold the works of his heavens, the work of his fingers, the moon and the stars which he has ordained. Then I ask myself, what is man that God is mindful of him, and the son of man that he thinketh of him?
I know not who thou art, but this I do know. Thou speakest as one of Israel.
That is so.
Then thou art no longer a stranger to me who is a daughter of Israel. And so may I ask a favor of thee. Would thou perhaps drop down those figs for me nestling there at the top of the tree?
Indeed.
For these must be the finest of fig cakes. They're for the shearing party tomorrow.
Oh, and the bows.
How didst thou know?
Who does not know that tomorrow evening Nabal shares food and wine with his men?
And the profits of the sheep shearing with all who have helped him.
Not with all. For he turns his back and his gratitude away from those who gave freely of their services to help him.
Now I know that Israelite or not, thou art a stranger in these parts, for everyone who dwells here in the valley of Maon knows that Nabal is trusted in his dealings. And fair, in meeting out just payment to those who served him, thou hast spoken out of turn and out of ignorance.
Oh, come now. Let us not quarrel about Nabal, who can be of no interest to thee, and who has no interest in me or in what I have done to save his flocks.
Thou art mistaken. Nabal is of great interest to me. He is my husband, and all that is said of him is of great concern to me. I pray that thou excuse me, for I have much to do.
Abigail, I am sorry I have offended thee. For though thou must be she whose wifely virtues are sung by men.
And thou must be David. And I am indeed disappointed to learn that thou art not a wise man, but a simple one, foolishly taking in wild rumors.
They were not wild rumors, lady, but the words of my trusted Captain Abner, who spoke with Nabal this very morning at the marketplace.
Ah, That explains it. But Nabal was not well. He returned from Carmel ill. Why, surely he cannot be held responsible for the things he said while his head hammered with fever. But I speak for the honor of my husband and my household when I bid thee send thy men to Nabal tomorrow evening, and they will receive their rightful share when Nabal divides the profits of the wool.
And David chose 10 young men and sent them to the festivities, instructing them to speak as Abigail had directed.
Wine! More wine! A few lashes of my whip upon your heels would perhaps speed the feet of my servants.
My lord, 10 of David's men are here, insisting on seeing me.
Move aside, lad. Oh, we meet again, Nabal. And 'tis fortunate for thee that we practice the patience and forbearance of our master, David.
Lock him! Throw him out!
No! Not until we say the words David has instructed us to say! All hail! And peace be unto thee, and peace be unto thy house. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Thy shepherds have now been with us. Wherefore let my young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come on a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand unto thy servants and to thy son, David.
Art thou through?
Quite through.
Then I answer with a question. Who is David? And with yet another question, shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men of whom I know not whence they are?
We had better be off before our forbearance is tried beyond the breaking point.
Wait! Tell thy master, David, didst thou call him, that I owe him not for his services. But if he chooses to come crawling to my gate with outstretched hand, I will fill it. For Nabal has never turned a beggar from his door. Tell this to David. And now be off. Wine! Damnation, woman, wine!
Here, my lord. My lord, the vessels are again filled to the brim, overflowing.
And so I'm afraid is Nabal. Filled to the brim and overflowing.
I shall have him carried to his couch so that he may sleep undisturbed in peace the remainder of the night.
There will be no peace this night, I fear, for either him or his entire household.
Why, what are you saying?
Just a moment ago, David sent messengers from his desert caves to claim their just pay from our master, and he flew upon them.
Oh, no, then I must hasten to undo the wrong I have done, for it was I who so advised David. The guilt is mine. Not Nabal.
Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and rode off to find David. And so it was, as she came down by the covert of the mountain, David and his men came down towards her and she met them. And when Abigail saw David, she alighted and fell before David on her face and bowed down to the ground.
It is not like the last time we met, is it, my lady? Now thou art groveling. Lift up thy head and arise.
Oh, David, my lord. Upon me let the iniquity fall, not upon my household. For it was I who beseeched thee to send thy men to our house, who vouched for their kind reception and left them open to insults, our beggary. And let the guilt fall where it belongs.
Am I to be turned aside by thy words? Thinkest thou that tears can dissolve the fury within me against Nabal? This night I have gathered together 400 of my men to see that when I come seeking vengeance at Nabal's door, I do not return empty-handed.
I beg thee, pay these men with the gifts which I have brought them, and do not thou bring Nabal to judgment. For by his murder will his evil be brought upon thee. Thou hast been sent to fight the battles of the Lord, and for this thou must be kept pure.
Abigail, Abigail, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thou that hast kept me from doing evil this day, even to Nabal. Go up in peace to thy house. Go now,
See, I have hearkened to thy voice.
And it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, that his wife told him these things.
He's waking, but his groans and grunts belch forth like thunder before a storm. Perhaps it would be better to come back later when his head and belly both are cleared of wine.
I cannot wait. Nabal must know what I have done, for I have dispensed his wealth, his possessions. I acted in his name only because he was at the time unfit to act for himself. But he must not have one waking moment in which he has not dominion over his affairs.
I hear thee, Abigail. Think not that I sleep. My lids but curtain my eyes from that accursed glare of the torches.
Oh, 'tis not torch that blinds thee, but the bright sunlight of the morn, Nabal. The night is past.
How came I to my couch? I recall only the music, the wine, the noise. Yes, it comes back now. The hammering of the door by David's cursed men demanding their portion. Loud though it was, it never equaled the hammering in my poor head at this moment.
Joachim, help thy master up while I smooth his couch and cool his linens. There. Tis better now, Nabal?
My limbs are cool, but inward I grow hot when I recall the gall of David. But I sent them running, the whole pack of curs with their tails between their legs, whining back to their masters. Who is David, I asked. And not one dared to answer. And David, brave David, hero of Israel. Hath either one of you seen him come to right or wrong? No more have I.
We have seen David. Both Joachim and I, Nabal. David and 400 of his men on the mountainside.
And Nabal, we heard him saying, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow Nabal hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath returned me evil for good.
And we hear him saying, God do so unto the enemies of David, and more also, if I leave of all that pertained to Nabal by the morning light so much as one male.
Oh. Ha-ha! The morning light of dawn has now become the full sun of noon, and here before thine eyes are two males of your household, eh? Mark my words. The great David is nothing but a fraud, a coward, a sniveling, weak-kneed shepherd.
Joachim, cloth for your master's brow. Oh. Nabal, thou must listen to me for a moment. For fevered head or no, I shall not rest till thou knowest all that I have done to save thy household, thy servants, and above all thee, my lord, from the wrath of David.
Quickly, tell me, 'tis but the fuzz of tongue and ear that have me mistake thy words, that make mockery of my marriage, so that a wife becomes the husband and the protector the protected.
Pray calm thyself, my lord, and listen. Thou art alive this morning. That is all that matters. And David's hands are not stained with thy blood. And his men have been paid their portion of the shearing. Oh, see, my Nabal, the blessing of the Lord this day, that all wrong has been righted, all evil turned good.
It is I who determine wrong and right. Away, evil and good. This house is my kingdom, and here I am the Lord. And my glory do I not share with another?
Nabal!
Then let thy God strike me down if I do not this day destroy both thee and David. Give me my sword, Joachim. Give me my sword.
And Nabal's heart died within him, and he became a stone.
My lady, 10 days now thou hast sat by Nabal's couch while he has lain there still as death. Come, thou must rest.
I cannot. I must be here should he wake.
He shall not wake again, my lady. The evil of Nabal hath the Lord returned upon his own head.
And yet I am tortured by the thought that when I took upon myself this role of master, 'twas I created havoc and destroyed my husband.
No, no, 'tis not so, my lady. The reverse was true. Thou expected destruction of thyself at his hands, but the Lord willed otherwise.
And it came to pass that about 10 days after the Lord smote Nabal, he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead,
blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept back his servants from evil, and the evil doing of Nabal hath the Lord returned upon his own.
And then David remembered Abigail's words to him on the mountainside.
And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to thee, David, according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee prince over Israel, and when the Lord shall have dealt well with thee, then remember thy handmaid.
So David went to Carmel to Abigail to remind her of her prophecy.
And I have come unto thee, Abigail, to take thee to wife.
But I am not free to go, David, for I am bound to Nabal by ties stronger even in death than in life. For though I created not his life, I am the cause of his death, his murderer.
Abigail, Abigail, be careful that thou dost not sin, and take upon thyself the role of the Lord. For it is the Lord who gave Nabal life, and it is the same Lord who took his life from him. Listen, Abigail, to my words, and take heed. Sing praise unto the Lord, O ye his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Thou didst turn for me my mourning into dancing. Thou didst loose my sackcloth and gird me with gladness, so that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever.
And Abigail hastened and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that followed her. And she went with David and became his wife. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 25 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, New York, 10027. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. Albert A. List of New York City, Honorary Chairman of the Board of the Jewish Museum and Chairman of the Arts Center Committee of the New School for Social Research. Mrs. List.
The dramatization we have just heard brings into clear focus a number of questions which deserve our attention. The answers we arrive at and accept as guideposts to action are as meaningful for us today, if not more so, than they were in the time of our biblical drama. The answers Nabal chooses limit his actions and his world. They ultimately alienate him not only from his community, but also from his devoted wife. It is Abigail who, out of necessity, usurps Nabal's role as protector, and at the risk of possible death, saves the good name of her husband and averts disaster. But that is not all. Her concern for righteousness extends beyond her immediate household. David's honor is her concern, and she determines that he, when wronged, not seek vengeance, shed blood, and thereby assume guilt. Abigail is a daughter of Israel, a true member of the community. She is a dutiful wife, recognizes her responsibilities, and fulfills them. Nabal, however, is a law unto himself. His moods and impulses determine his life. He himself says, "It is I who determine right and wrong, who weigh evil and good. This house is my kingdom, and here I am the Lord, and my glory do I not share with another." The conflict presented by Nabal's actions is resolved by Abigail's strength and guidance, which she derives from ethical principles based on justice for all men. Can these same principles have meaning for us today? The events in our drama, Abigail, can be roughly placed in the year 1000 before the Common Era. The world of 1967 is so very different. There is the staggering difference in the size of the world's population, as well as the size of the world itself. The difference in the means and speed of the transportation of man and his thoughts, the power to sustain life and the power to destroy life. But one thing remains constant, the basic problem of man's relationship to himself and to his fellow man. We heard how Abigail solved specific examples of these problems. How would we solve them today? What are the limits of our community? And who for us is the so-called stranger? And where do we look for guideposts to action?
Thank you, Mrs. List. Our Eternal Light drama today, Abigail, the 10th in a series entitled Pages from the Living Book, was written by Harriet Kopp. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured today were Jan Miner as Abigail, Ralph Bell as Nabal, and Ivor Francis as David. Others in the cast were Beatrice Pons, Ian Martin, Roger DeCoven, and Larry Robinson. The narrator, Lester Rollins. We invite you to join us next week when The Eternal Light will present David and Solomon, written by Irv Tunick. This is Jerry Damon. The Eternal Light is directed by Kenneth McGregor and presented weekly under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.